You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the United Nations formally adopted the International Oceans Treaty, which was agreed to in March. I spoke to Greenpeace Oceans campaigner Ali Hooper about her experiences during the treaty negotiations and what the next steps for the treaty will look like. I started by asking why the treaty is significant.
So the Global Oceans Treaty, or the BBNJ agreement, is super significant because to date we don't have a way of managing high seas areas, so those areas that are beyond national jurisdiction, national kind of waters. But, you know, areas that fall in the high seas make up the majority of the ocean on this planet. So what happens in those areas can have a huge impact on the Earth that we live on. So this treaty will give us the ability to not only create protected areas on the high seas, which was not possible before, but it will also allow us to assess the environmental impacts of other industries that are operating outside of those protected areas. So it's a really, really landmark agreement that has been unanimously agreed to at the UN, and it could really create an amazing amount of change for the future of this planet.
What are the impacts of the treaty on Aotearoa?
Well, I think that, you know, New Zealand has one of the largest EEZs in the world, like kind of the area of ocean versus our landmass. We are also an island nation, so like what happens to the ocean is incredibly relevant to New Zealand. If we have healthy oceans, then we can have a healthy planet. So I think we have as big a stake as any other nation in this. But, you know, as a country that's deeply connected to the water, I think it's really important that we're on board with the strongest treaty available here.
You were at the UN in March when the treaty was being drafted. What was that experience like?
It was a very interesting, eye-opening experience being in New York for the negotiations. I think, you know, this treaty has been negotiated for years and years and years, and I think it was amazing to see it actually completed. There were plenty of times during the negotiations it felt like we weren't going to get there. Countries still had significant disagreements quite late on in the game about what this treaty should look like. But I mean, my takeaway at the end of it was we spent 36, 37 hours in a kind of mammoth session inside the UN where countries were just trying to like finalize the deal. And the fact that they did and the fact that they were able to put aside their differences and make compromises gave me a lot of hope, actually, for the future of our planet, but also for the fact that we can work multilaterally in order to create positive change.
And what are the next steps for the treaty?
So what happened last week on the 19th of June, I think, was that the treaty was formally adopted at the UN, so that's really great. So as you know, in March, the treaty text was agreed, then it was translated and legally scrubbed. Now it's been adopted, and now the next stage in the process is that it will open for signing, and we need 60 countries to ratify the treaty through their own national processes in order for the treaty to be brought into force. Now, organizations like Greenpeace want to see that ratification happen really, really urgently. There's a lot of momentum behind this treaty and behind this campaign to protect the global oceans. We don't want to see that momentum lost. So we will be pushing countries, especially high ambition countries like New Zealand, to ratify the treaty as fast as they possibly can. We're hoping that by early 2025, we can have a usable treaty and we can start actually getting protected areas in the high seas in place.
So what's the process for ratification in Aotearoa? Is it just a matter of putting pressure on the government?
Well, the actual process of ratification, I think, is quite complex. I think any international treaty has to align with our kind of domestic policies. So they've got to do some work. The government has got to do some work there in aligning those two things. And my understanding is that there will be a team set to work on that, essentially, in order to make it happen. But yes, I guess from the civil society side, from Greenpeace, we've been working on this for years, and we've been, you know, raising public awareness about the importance of this treaty and pushing for it. So we will continue to do that work. We will continue to lobby the government, and we will continue to create that public pressure to ensure that decision makers know that we're not going to forget about this agreement that they've made and the fact that we need to protect the oceans urgently.
And are these protections enough for our oceans?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if you've read any scientific report over the last 10 years, what scientists say is that we need to protect at least 30% of the land and sea in order for us to have a habitable planet for the future. In doing that, you protect biodiversity, you can avoid the worst of the climate crisis. And at the moment, we're really not doing a good enough job of protecting areas of the planet that need it. So this treaty is the pathway to getting that in the high seas. Before this, we didn't have a legal mechanism to create protected areas. Now we do. So let's use it. And what we're hoping and what we will be pushing for, obviously, is that the areas that are protected first are the most biodiverse and the most important. So you're talking about things like migratory pathways for whales and turtles, deep sea ecosystems where coral create habitat for all kinds of other marine creatures. So we want to see biodiversity protected. And there's a lot of advice and there's a lot of case studies out there to show what kind of areas should be prioritized for protection first.
And is there anything else people should know about the treaty?
I think all I would say is that it's the fact that the treaty was agreed is a truly historic moment that can't be overstated, but that we will all need to keep an eye and keep a watch on how this develops and how these protected areas develop, because they're not in place yet. So we've still got some years of work ahead of us, but we know that New Zealanders care about this, and so that we hope that they'll be behind us in pushing for this protection urgently.
That was Greenpeace's Ali Hooper on the UN's Ocean Treaty.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.